Since Ellie seems to...
So we're not going any further today?
Thanks.
Since Ellie seems...
Okay.
Are we...
Huh? You don't want it on?
No, I'm tired.
We have it on?
So yesterday we talked about...
Is it on?
Hanan and Michelle Versailles, they died with Reich. They died with Reich, and we explained that there are two things that were revealed when they came out of the oven. One was Chokhma of Hashem, the perspective. Man could go into a furnace, and he can come out alive. Mm-hmm. That's a Gilia Chokhma, that's an illumination. That's something which he thought that Api Seichel Anushis, human intellect, is impossible. And now you discovered something new. There's a Chokhma in the world. And it changes the perspective of how you look at things. You see that the world goes, the rules of Teva, the rules of Teva are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set them, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so we could overrule them, so it's Chokhma. It's Chokhma Hashem, it's Or Hashem. We said that was something which was it's foreign. Hanan and Michelle Versailles were a living example of a Chokhma of Hashem that wasn't shared by those that lived in the world at the time. I mean, they were exposed to it, they saw it, but that's not the way they generally saw things. We explained the concept of Ayin Hara, that a person could create or limit creation by his perspective. That was Ayin Hara. We said similarly, in a similar vein, that's what it means when they died. The Gemara said they died in Spit and Reich, because the other thing that emerged from this nace is a tremendous covet for Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they're willing to go in. There's Abdi Hashem that they're willing to...
Does that mean they died in Spit?
That's what I'm explaining.
They died?
We gave a share about this yesterday.
Okay.
Yes, they died. They went in. They were willing to... To them, when they went in, they weren't counting on coming out alive. they were clearly intending to go to their death, because it's Ratzon Hashem. You can't bow down to Avodah Zarah. Bowing down to Avodah Zarah is a worse death than getting burnt up. Mm-hmm. And they did it. That's Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were the only repositories of Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because nobody else did it. So the only Kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in them. And then when they came out alive, that's even more covered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kvod Hashem. And the Goyim, they spat on the Jews, and they said, you have a God that has this kind of covered, and you sunk so low to bow down to Abba Zara, you're trading your God for that, for Eitz forever. So the covered of Hanan and Michelle Versailles was also a foreign element in the world. It was something from a different generation, a different place, a different source, and they couldn't live in the world. They could not live in the world. We compared it to trying to succeed in a noxious environment. You know, like a tree can't survive in an oxygen environment, and a human can't survive in a carbon dioxide environment. And those that they don't just do Kavod Hashem, Hanan and Michelle Versailles, they did a lot more than just cause Kavod Hashem, commit an act of Kavod Hashem, but they were Kavod Hashem. Their bodies, they were Kavod Hashem, they were in the fire, they came out alive. They were a living example of Kavod Hashem, they were a personification of Kavod Hashem, they were quintessential Kavod Hashem, the epitome of Kavod Hashem, they were Kavod Hashem. It's not just what they did, it's what they were. So in a world where there is no Kavod Hashem, where Hashem's name is disgraced, then they have nothing to live for. They can't live. I mean, Rabbi Shlomo Soloveitchik said this once. The Rishonim say that the neshama is called covered. It's based on Pesukim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Ura Kevaydi, Ura Nevel Vechina. Wake up, my covered. David HaMelech said, my covered should wake up. He used to hang a kinar, a lyre, or a harp above his bed, and at Chatzais, the wind would blow and cause notes, musical notes, to emerge from the kinar, and it would wake up David, and he would say, Ur Kavaydi, my covered should wake up. So David was referring to his neshama. Because Neshama Hashem is service. We say in Mizmor Shekanukas Abayis Adav, we say the money is America covered. Like covered should sing to God. The soul is called covered because what separates a person from an animal? What separates a person from an animal? What's the distinction? What sets him apart from an animal? He has a nose, the animal has a nose. He's got a tongue, the animal has a tongue. Yeah, okay, speaking, but where does speaking come from? It comes from the neshama. Neshama is the covenant of the person. The neshama is what sets a person apart. The neshama is what elevates him. So the neshama is the covenant. It's called covenant. And a person is alive because he has a neshama. A person without a neshama does not become an animal. A person without a neshama becomes dead. There are levels in creation. There's a rock, and there's plants, and there's animals, and there's people, and then there's Klal Yisrael. A flower that dies doesn't become a rock. An animal that dies doesn't become a flower. A person that dies doesn't become an animal, and a yid that dies doesn't become a guy. These kilas are totally separate. They don't merge into one another. Rousseau Salanter says that if the neshama is covered, and covered is the neshama, then a person's only a person because he has covered. It's an equation. Mm-hmm. He said, if you'd be able to extract all the covered out of a person, let's say you'd invent a covered extractor, or they would shame a person so much, they would denigrate him, they would shame him, they would drag him, step on him, and extract every last bit of cover that he has nothing left, he would die. Cover is a life force. People live because they have cover.
Some could be embarrassed.
Some have more. Yes, that's the... I'm glad you brought that up. What does the Gemara say about embarrassing a person?
It's like killing
them. Where is that? It's like a ritzeh. Why is it like a ritzeh? Because he is a ritzeh. Rabbeinu Yoina and Tosfos both say that just like one is not allowed to murder someone, even at cost of his own life, if someone puts a gun to your head, I mean, this is a very, very, very painful bit of muscle here. This Tosfos, it's a very painful bit of muscle. Somebody puts a gun to your head, and he says, embarrass that person or I will shoot you. You're obligated to forfeit your life in order not to embarrass people.
To embarrass him.
So how you know it's a suffix?
And we do it because we want to do it. And it's something which you're obligated to give up your own life. Tzvitzicha. We also want to say the only reason why people are alive is because somewhere in there people have a defense mechanism. Since if they lose all their covered, they die. This is a very strong defense mechanism because one of the strongest desires is to want to live. I want to live. So if they try and take your covered away, so then you bounce back. You overcompensate. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, said that's the understanding behind the phenomenon of the the psychologist couches are filled with people who think they're Napoleon Bonaparte. It used to be more popular in my days. It was like a joke, but it wasn't a joke. Everyone's walking into a psychologist's office with his hand under his cloak. Napoleon. Why did they think they're Napoleon of all people? That's the only... Of all people that go on to be Napoleon Bonaparte, the Tarot says, if they're Meshuggah, so they have no covered. Who doesn't have covered? A Meshuggah doesn't have covered. A Meshuggah has no covered. Because the biggest Rachmanis case is someone that has no Das. Meshuggah has no covered. So he's in danger of dying, yeah? So he's gasping for breath. So, if a guy is drowning, and after 2-3 minutes he gets fished out, so he starts gulping in gulps of air. So Meshuggah is in danger of losing his life. He's in danger of dying because his neshama is slowly being extinguished. So he goes the other way to get as much covered as possible. So Napoleon Bonaparte, he was the ruler of the whole world. And the Rebbe said that that's the same understanding of the current day phenomenon. This is a lot more common. of Mishigayim, these streets of Yerushalayim are filled with Mishigayim. Do they think that they're
Yashka or
Mashiach? Mashiach. I remember I was in a show in Columbus, Ohio. I was there on a program. And all of a sudden the kids come in the middle of Davin. I think it was the Chazaras and Shatz of Musaf. The kids come running in. They start saying, Mashiach is here, Mashiach is here. There was this black Hebrew. He was probably not Jewish. A black Hebrew. He was dressed up, and he came to the show to take the Jews out of Columbus.
Columbus.
I'm a shugana. There's a guy, a famous guy in the old city. He's dressed up like David HaMelech. He's got a harp and a crown. And he's a shugana. He starts. He plays his harp. David HaMelech. He knows two words in Hebrew. He's probably not Jewish. I don't know, I don't know what he is. Probably not Jewish. David Amelech, that's all he knows. Collect some money out of his machine.
He's cracked.
Yeah, so you can understand the Kanan and Bishav Azariah are covered, they are Hashem's covered, so their life is Hashem's covered, and if there is no Hashem's covered, the environment is a quite Hashem free zone, there is none. There's a vacuum of Hashem's cover. They're going to die. And we said the third opinion, Rabbi Yechon's opinion, is that they didn't die. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They married women. They had children. So Rabbi Yechon holds in principle, like the first two opinions, that they can't live without Chochmah. They can't live without Kavod. But in Eretz Yisrael, they could live. That's why they had to leave. So he agrees with the opinions in principle, but they had to leave. And in Eretz Yisrael, not only could they live there, but they could have continuity, they could have children. The next Gemara talks about where Daniel was. So there's three opinions where Daniel was. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. So one opinion was, he went to smash through a mountain. To create like an irrigation tunnel through a mountain. A river should go through a mountain. That's what Rav says. So mostly he went to bring aspasta seeds. Aspasta. Not aspasta. Aspasta. It's like a flax. And Rabbi Yechon said he went to bring Alexandrian pigs. Nebuchadnezzar sent him. Three opinions. You know, these are not just incidental. They're not insignificant details. Nebuchadnezzar sent Daniel to do these things. He must have had a reason. Nebuchadnezzar sent Daniel to do these things. Blast a hole through a mountain so a river could go through, bring aspasta seeds, and get Alexandrian pigs. But what was he thinking? That's the question. And what does this have to do with the Gemara? So I guess the first thing, the Rabbi Moshe Shapiro explains, first thing we have to know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. We've gone over this before. He had a dream that this is a tremendous a statue, a pestle, in the shape of a human, golden head, silver shoulders, torso, top torso, copper, lower extremities of copper, iron feet and clay shoes. And Daniel said this represents the five nations that Klal Yisrael is meshubet to, that they enslaved Klal Yisrael. The golden head is Bavel, the silver upper torso, the arms is Parsha Madai, then the copper lower portion of the body is Yavan, and the iron legs is Rome, and the copper shoes is Yishmael. Yishmael is not one of the four. Yishmael is like, they mix in. Like,
what are we in there?
We're in Yishmael and Edom together. That's Christianity and Islam. Well, that's, you know, can't be any plainer than that. But Yishmael is not one of the four kings. It's just they mix themselves into it, you know. They're the shoes, like they help them walk. They help them go. Kiyadua. But the thing about it is that you see that the golden head is Nebuchadnezzar, which means he's not just the first of the four kings. They all come from him. they come from him. He's Nimrod. You know, he's a descendant of Nimrod. The Gemara calls him a direct descendant of Nimrod. He took the entire world away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He built the Tower of Bava, the Zayda. He destroyed Stein by Myron, captured light. We went through that. That was capturing Mashiach. Nimrod. I'm saying this is Nebuchadnezzar Zayda. Why do you want to capture Mashiach? Because Mashiach's a danger to him, to his plan, his plan of world domination. You can't dominate the world if Klal Yisrael could slip out from your clutches.
Did he think he could actually stop Mashiach?
Yes. He almost did. It was miraculous. Rav Avinu went to rescue light, to rescue Mashiach. Because he can't be the master of the world if Klal Yisrael could slip out from under him. You can't. You just can't. It's either him or Klal Yisrael.
Didn't we say that people were made like the trees, like the seeds, you know, death is being planted, Chias and Mason is coming back after. So if they were created like that, how could a human being put a halt to that process?
Because you need Klal Yisrael to deserve that. People that die, they stay dead unless they deserve to come back. Mashiach is mocks the people with Shuvah. You have to deserve it. You can't just get it. If he would have been Matzliach, if Nimrod would have been Matzliach, there would be much Chias and Mason. The world will just keep going. At least he thought that way. I mean, it's not like that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him. He stopped him Migdal Bavel, he stopped him Macham, and Nebuchadnezzar, his Enikel, the grandson, he stopped this now. And Vashti, Hashem stopped that also. I mean, it's one long train, you know. Nimrod, she was Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter. Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Vashti, Saddam Hussein. I'm giving shir on Purim.
About Purim, about the Megillah.
If you want, I mean, I do a lunchtime every day.
When did you start that?
Well, about 5 months ago. So.
Oh, great.
It's all one line, you know. It's one line. And when the Nebuchadnezzar did, he had the entire world bow down to the golden statue, and that entire world included the Bnei Yisrael. Similarly to what Zayde Nimrod did, he made a Migdal Bavel with an Avodah Zarah on top. The tower wasn't just a tower. It had an Avodah Zarah on top. And they tried to get Avraham Avinu to come. The Medrash says they tried to get Avraham Avinu didn't come. Everyone else came except for Avraham Avinu. And here also, everyone else came except for Hanan Mishal Vazayah. And we already said Hanan Mishal Vazayah parallels to Avraham Yitzchak. So it's happening over and over and over again. I mean, we're going over old ground here. The statue, the golden statue, first of all, it was made of gold, and second of all, it was in the form of Nebuchadnezzar. His dream was that the head is gold, and the rest of the body parts were different metals. But you know, his interpretation of the dream, he tried to actualize the dream, that the entire statue should be gold, that the silver of Parasamadai should have a gold overlay on it. And the copper of Yavan should have a gold overlay on that. And same with the iron of the legs, that everything should look like gold. He didn't want them to have independent, he didn't want them to be independent kingdoms.
Why gold? Followed.
Gold is the most precious of all things.
So they were like the strongest of them?
Or? Yeah, no, not strongest, precious. The most strongest is iron.
Precious. So why were they the most precious?
Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Bavel the most covet out of all the nations. Why should there be a covet to Klal Yisrael? It shouldn't be destroyed by low people. Bavel had the most covet. They were the head. Bavel was the head. But the statue that he made was completely gold. So what's the significance of that? That Bavel had the imprint on everything. And if all the nations, he had all the Persians, and all the Greeks, and all the Romans, they weren't really, all the Romans, and all, everyone came to bow down to the statue. What does that mean? He's getting the silver, and the copper, and the iron to bow down to the gold, and saying, we're about to, no more silver, no more copper, we're all gold. You see the awesomeness of this? And the Jews, he got them too. So you see, Hanan Mishal Bazar, you saved the whole world. They're the only ones. Three people in the entire world, not a single guy. Not a single guy. Was not present by this moment.
Every
Jew, anyone that he was the ruler of the whole world, they bowed down. Bowing down, it was not just an act of
every person separately bowed down to him, or like...
You know, I really don't know how to answer that question, and it's not fair you to ask.
I'm trying to understand how is it written.
They all bowed down! They bowed down!
They sent their representatives to there, but in each city they had their horns.
So somehow or another they had the representatives. Okay, so they're king.
At the same time.
In the cities they bowed down.
Right, they had horns to get them...
But they all bowed down! They bowed down. They bowed...
I don't know if it was all the same time, but they got it.
They worked it out. They had an internet conference. They had the webcams. They had the webcams on the monitor, and simultaneously all bowed down. It's not just stuff like the Zola. It's world domination. It's having its imprint on the whole world forever. It would have worked, except for Kadani Shabazaya. In order to be king of the whole world, it's not enough to be king over the people of the world. You want to be king over all the elements. What's the strongest element in the world? So there's the daimon. Remember, there's daimon to mechai medaber. Inanimate objects, plants, grow. You know,
animals,
people, and Jews. So he's got the Jews. Except for Kadani Mishavaza, he's got the Jews. He's got the Gentiles. So what's left?
Animals.
Right. Inanimate objects, plants, and animals. So what? And he wanted to have his imprint on the strongest of these things. That's why he wanted his imprint on Klal Yisrael. A mountain. You know, a river goes. It can knock its head against the mountain. It's not going to go through.
What does it mean, blast the hole through the mountain?
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Did he have a stick of dynamite?
What did he do?
I don't know. Why do you have all these technical details?
Technical
whatever
detail,
was.
It's Lashon of the Gemara, and I'm asking a question.
No, the Gemara, he blasted the hole through the mountains. What does that mean? That means that the Mukhanetza wants this river to go from here to there. The mountain's in the way. That means the mountain is frustrating his will, his purpose, his design. You blast the hole through the mountain, so the mountain is bowing.
To him.
The Gemara of Abbasah talks about Aspasta. There's a sukkah in the Gemara. Somebody buys a field and he loses his contract, so he can't prove that the field was bought. What does he do? And he doesn't have witnesses. So Gemara says that if there were three crop years that he could prove that he harvested the crops of 3 years, he has witnesses to that, so then that's equal to a shtar. That's called a chazaka. So Gemara says, what's three crop years? It depends what the crop is. So some crops take 3 years, some crops take 18 months, some crops take 90 days. Aspasta is an example of something that takes 90 days. You could plant it and harvest it in 30 days, plant it again, harvest it in another 30 days, and plant it, harvest it again in another 30 days. So that means Aspasta plant is the representative of the plant kingdom of the strongest kayak of growth. It's got a tremendous kayak of growth. Go bring the Aspasta seeds. The strongest animal, the most powerful animal, rich, it's strong, it's powerful, is the chazir. Edom is compared to a pig. Yeah,
why a pig?
It's not hard to understand it. It's a zlob, you know, you can't budge it. It's like, it's strength. No. There's more to a pig, it's just more.
A rhinoceros can knock over a cart.
And they're not talking about the mark. Right now, what's noteworthy about it is not its ability to knock cars over. It's just the immensity and the power of it. It's huge. The hippopotamus, rhinoceros, is height-wise might be larger. But a pig is fat. It's got hugeness to it. Even a small pig is powerful. It's just got mass. And the flavor is very strong. There's power. It has a very strong flavor. It's something that people run after. They go b'sugar over it. They go b'sugar. It's a lot of power. It's a lot of raw. It's called raw animal power. So we're not referring to its ability to lift cars. Just raw animal power. And that's why Edom is compared to a pig. Raw animalistic power. Doesn't do anything. See, the elephants do things. So that it's not 100% animal. It does things.
Iron tusks.
It does things. It's similar to a person in a way. You understand what I mean? It is, because people do things, elephants do things. Pigs just are. Pigs just are, right.
Like in,
they are. Yeah. It's very, you know, they have an animalistic power. It's not a people power. It's an animal. It's just pure thing. And the strongest pigs, the best pigs, are in Alexandria. So that's why he sent them to Alexandria Mitzrayim. Now, who did he send to do this? Why didn't he send some flunky? Why did he send Daniel? Because he wanted Klal Yisrael, the strongest member of Klal Yisrael, to participate or to be the catalyst in bringing all the elements in creation under his control.
Could he have done it himself?
It's, a lot of,
it's better if somebody subjugates themselves to you.
I'm asking, could the guy who was only number 4 on the ladder?
It wouldn't have been as effective. And he would have been Matzliach except for one thing. He had everything except for 3, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. Hananya is... Hananya, Mishael, and Matzai.
That's why he prays Hashem afterwards. Why did he give in a sense? He didn't fully give in, because I'm sure he reverted back to
his words. What?
Why would he praise Hashem after coming from
his understanding of God's Nifloyes HaBayri surpassed many a Jew.
And then he just lost it
the
after
the biggest Rasha has the biggest Teresa in the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch.
Right.
The bigger the Rasha, the bigger he sees the enemy. It's a question. Someone starts such a Rasha, he's ambivalent. He just doesn't care. There you have it.
He just keeps on losing it again. Like
he had the Maisa with Tzidkiyahu, the Tomb of Iyah, Sheker, Tzidkiyahu, and Achov. You think that these people just had tivus they couldn't control? If it was just a tivus they couldn't control, then why would they try and have relations with the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar? Isn't that a bit dangerous? That's called living on the edge. Isn't that a bit dangerous? They got burned up. If they just have an uncontrolled tivus, why the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar? And the answer is it wasn't because of passion. It wasn't because of tivus. We'll bring a raya from the Tzadik Kedusha. The Gemara Ksuba says that Tzkiyas HaMesim is only possible by someone that has Torah inside him. Hashem brings Torah back to life. A person that has Torah inside of him, when he dies, so he can come back to life. Somebody that doesn't have Torah inside of him is dead. So the Gemara says, what about Amaratzim? They don't learn Torah. They might do nice things, but they don't learn Torah. So they can't. Amar Biechla Matzatzlam Takarim in the Torah. He said, I can fix it. I found it. I found the way out for them. There's a number of suggestions. So one of them is, if they have a daughter and they marry the daughter of the Talmud Chacham, or if they have a tzedakah, they give tzedakah to the Talmud Chacham, or to do business, they could do business with Talmud Chacham, you know, buy merchandise from them. So then, you know, so the Chayri, they still don't have tyrants out there. So Maral explains, there's three ways, there's three parts of a person. Kalavavka is your time, is it your body? Kalavshaka, that's your nefesh, that's your animates you, you're animated. You know, that's, you know, I'm sorry, what are the parallels? What to think of? Nafshka is your kaychus. Your kaychus. You work hard. When you work hard. You put your nefesh into it. So that's a parallel to sharing your business with the Talmud Chacham. The Chacham Yedek is your money. So that's giving him staka. And Levavka is your passion, that's the body. is that the Gemara is giving three suggestions how to get the Tekiyas HaMeisim. Either connect with the Talmud Chacham by giving him tzedakah, me'edecha, connect with the Talmud Chacham by doing business with him, nafshecha, or connect with the Talmud Chacham by marrying up your daughter with him. So what do you see from here? A daughter is the father. She comes from the father. A wife is the husband. So by a daughter marrying a Talmud Chacham, the father has a bodily connection with the Talmud Chacham. Has a shalom, this peyach in the world, and every mitzvah is amazing. Because he has a bodily connection with the Talmud Chacham. He's got terror in his body. He's got terror in his body, the body can come back to life. On the dark side of things, Nebuchadnezzar was someone that all the things in the world were subject to him. The daimon, Sameach, Chaim, Medave, Yisrael, except for Kanaim Shavazayah. So if you want to plug into that, how do you do it? How do you plug into this golden statue? Have relations with his daughter. They wanted to have relations with his daughter because they wanted to be one with his body. Be one with his body. So then,
from the other ways.
I don't know. Okay, so Mitch Hashem, tomorrow we'll go right to. You understand? Clear? It's good?
Good stuff.
It's good?
Is this still considered yesterday?
Shkia, you don't know what Shkia, what time Shkia is?
I've always heard so, it's Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, I want to learn some Shnaya,
so. No, so you could definitely do it because it's been a Shmashas. You could do it right now.
What's it called? So even though the Rosh is, can praise Hashem, he loses it right away, though.
Hashem didn't want that praise.
I'm saying in general, does it die out?
I don't know what that means.
You know they say like the Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Days could die out. Like,
if anybody sincerely praises Hashem, he gets reward for anything that he does. But the Gemara says generally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Rishayim in this world.
Well, I'm saying for him to make a change in himself, like Nebuchadnezzar, why, if he praised Hashem like that, why didn't he change himself?
Because he didn't. He wanted to stay himself and praise Hashem. If he would have changed himself, then Hashem would have let him. He would have let him.
But it was so clear, though. You know, it's not like he just like you learn about it.
See,
you saw it.
How someone could still stay in Russia
after seeing that? Like it's even just learning about
it. Let me teach you a little something about seeing things. We talked about Gaiwe the other day.
Right.
So someone could see such godless, and they could say, wow, it's so emes, it's so true, it's so great, I'm so insignificant. Yeah. It's much better emes, I have to reinvent myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone could see such godless and say, wow, what a great person I am that I could see such godless.
Really?
Ouch, right?
It doesn't make sense, though.
It sure does, Gaiva.
It doesn't make sense. Because
he
saw such godless, though, that is
emes. That means he's also godless, if you could see it.
But he knows that he's not doing actions that are, the mice that he does aren't.
Well, he's a god, he can make his own rules.
The Gaiva
never lets up on a person. It's public enemy number one.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Right. You tough?